For today's shorter triage podcast, I thought I would go through a video that I made for our YouTube channel this time last year. In February 2023, I made a YouTube video called 5 Reasons You Should Invest in 2023. Our YouTube channel just passed 5,000 subscribers, which of course is pretty small compared to this podcast, which has over 1 million downloads now, but we're putting out content in YouTube every single week. And when I made this video in February 2023 called 5 Reasons You Should Invest in 2023, many of you were asking us if it was a good time to invest, which was a totally fair question because at that time, you'll remember we had interest rates soaring, inflation completely out of control, experts were predicting a crash and a recession, and you could get 5 to 6% returns just by holding cash at the bank with zero risk. Although, as I explain in the video, cash is a very risky investment in the long term. So, what was my strategy in 2023 amidst all this turmoil? Well, as you're going to hear in the video, I didn't change my strategy at all. So, we'll hear what my strategy was. Next week, I made a video in 2024 reviewing how my 2023 investment strategy went in the midst of all of this doom and gloom predictions, including what my returns were for 2023. And the second part of this is in some ways more important than the first. So that will be on next week's triage. But this week, let's hear what my 2023 strategy was. And if this is helpful to you, head over to Medics Money YouTube, hit the subscribe button for more content like this. Learning how to invest was a large part of how I dragged myself out of the £85,000 worth of debt that training to be a doctor put me in and got to the position that I'm in today, which is working towards financial freedom. But there is a bewildering array of complex financial information out there, and it can be hard to know where to start. So today, I'm going to summarize 99 pages of this complex financial information from JP Morgan's latest version of Guide to the Markets. And I'm going to summarize that into just 5 key lessons that can help anyone just to get started and understand investing a bit better. And we're going to learn by the end of this video why compound interest is the 8th wonder of the world and getting started with investing is really, really important. Why diversification is the only free lunch in investing and why Jack Bogle says, don't look for the needle, just buy the haystack. If you're new here and you like these videos, don't forget to hit like and subscribe. And towards the end of the video, I'm going to tell you the changes that I'm making to my own portfolio as a result of this information, but also ask for your feedback so that we can keep making content that is useful to you. Lesson 1. Invest early to maximize compounding. This is an amazing chart because it shows you the power of investing early. So what we've got here on the left is someone who starts at the age of 25, investing £5,000 per year with an average of 5% growth. So if you do that, at age 65, you have £639,000, okay? Whereas if you started at age 35, again, investing 5,000 per year with a 5% return, you'd have £354,000 at the age of 65, or £285,000 less. What's even more remarkable, and why this chart's so powerful, because it demonstrates what is basically compound interest, is the person who started at age 25 has only contributed £50,000 more, £5,000 a year for 10 years, than the person who started at 35. But by the age of 65, that £50,000 extra has compounded into an additional £285,000 at age 65. So that just shows you the power of compound interest and why getting started with investing early is really important. So I wasn't able to start investing at age 25 because I was still at medical school and I had terrible debts like credit cards that I needed to pay off before investing. When I did finally have enough money to invest, it was tiny amounts, £50 a month, which at the time felt totally pointless. But over the years, these early small investments have just continued to compound. So if you're lucky enough to start investing at age 25, great. But if not, just start as soon as you can. And this graph is one of the reasons why my children invest and I talked about how I'm teaching my kids about money in another video. Then on the right of this graph, we see the power of reinvesting dividends. So quick recap, dividends are money that companies pay to people that own shares in that company. And if you're buying funds, which I'm gonna define in a minute, sometimes you'll see income after the fund name, which generally means they don't reinvest the dividends. And sometimes you'll see accumulation, or ACC sometimes, after the fund name, which means they do reinvest the dividends. So that's just something to watch out for if you're managing your own investment. All right, lesson two. Cash is not a safe haven. So this graph shows you why cash is not a safe haven. And sometimes you'll hear people say cash is trash. Before we do that, a quick jargon recap. So if you look at the chart, you'll see that it says equities. Okay, so equities are also called shares or stocks. They're all the same thing. They're units of a company that can be bought and sold. And the value of the share, the stock, or the equities fluctuates depending on its perceived value. Bonds are a way of loaning money to an organization issuing the bond, which is often a government or a company. It's effectively an IOU between you, the investor, and whoever issued the bonds. And you might see in the UK that government-issued bonds are called gilts, and in the US they are called T-bills. I already mentioned funds, which sometimes are called exchange-traded funds or investment trusts, and funds are just a way to buy a selection of different investments all grouped together. So hopefully that helps to demystify some of the jargon that's already appearing on this chart. So equities, same as shares and stocks, bonds we talked about, cash, self-explanatory. So looking at the graph, you can see that long-term investing in equities has massively outperformed bonds. And the reason cash is not a safe haven is because although it might feel less risky to keep cash under the mattress instead of risking it all on investments, in fact, unfortunately, cash is not a safe haven because inflation is constantly eroding the value of that cash. So look at this chart. If you invested £1 in 1900 in equities, today you would have £386. If you put that £1 into bonds, today you would have £4. And if you put that £1 into cash, today you would have £2. So that just shows you that in the long term, equities have massively outperformed bonds and cash. Lesson three, diversification is the only free lunch in investing. Have a look at this colorful chart, which shows the best performing asset class in any one year. So for example, in year 2016, HY bonds or high yield bonds were the best returning asset class, returning nearly 37%, okay? Do you notice the pattern? The pattern is, there is no pattern. And that's really, really important because what this shows is that you need to diversify your investments to reduce risks. So if you don't have a solid investing plan, more on that later, then you could end up chasing winners. Okay, so for example, you might be reading the financial press in 2017, when, as we can see, EM equities or emerging market equities were performing really, really well, returning 26%, and think, yeah, I'm gonna buy some emerging market equities. The next year, these same equities lost 8.9%. Again, in 2018, you might buy government bonds, which returned 5.8%. And then in 2019, these same government bonds return only 1.5%. So if you're chasing winners like this, you end up buying high and possibly selling low. And that is a surefire way to lose money. So, unless you think you can predict the future and you can predict the pattern of a chart like this, one sensible option is to buy a wide range of investments. And this is called diversification. As Jack Bogle, the founder of Vanguard and proponent of low-cost index fund investing says, don't look for the needle, just buy the haystack. By which he means, don't worry about trying to select winning shares, the needle, just buy the haystack, a broad diversified index fund that owns a little bit of all asset classes. Interestingly, Jack Bogle had a pretty complex medical history and actually underwent a heart transplant, but you're not here for information about that. So buying the haystack or diversification means not putting all your eggs in one basket and instead buying a wide range of investments, which, as we saw in lesson two, over time, equities have done very well. Lesson four, time reduces risk. One thing all investors worry about, including me, is losing money. And as Warren Buffett says, the first rule of investing is don't lose money. And the second rule of investing is don't forget the first rule. And you might have heard people say you need to invest for a minimum of 5 years. And the reason for that 5-year time frame is this next chart. So what this chart shows is a range of returns on several different types of investment from 1950 to 2022. For example, if you held a portfolio of stocks, denoted by the green bar, for 1 year during that time period, the maximum gain was 47%. Great. But the maximum loss in that time period, 1950 to 2022, was 39%. And that's what we call volatile. You might win big, but you might lose big. And remember, Warren's first rule of investing is don't lose money. In blue, we have the same for bonds. And in gray, we have a portfolio of 50% bonds and 50% shares, which, as you can see, is much less volatile. There's much lower highs and less low lows. But the returns are also worse than the pure share portfolio, which is in green. So if we move along the graph a bit to the 5-year returns, you can see the maximum return for shares is 28%, but the maximum loss is 3%. So that's much less volatile than over 1 year. And if we move out to the 20-year timeframe, the maximum gain was 17%, and there is no loss, just a 6% gain. Holding investments for a longer period of time reduces volatility and decreases your risk of money. So that is why people generally advocate investing in stocks for a minimum of 5 years. Lesson 5, volatility is normal. Now, you might have noticed from the previous chart that over 20 years, the S&P index, which is a group of 500 companies in America, returned 11.1%. But within this very nice sounding return is a lot of volatility. Some years good years and some years bad years. But on average, more good years than bad years. The point of this chart here, which shows the good years and the bad years. So good years, bull market, which is defined as more than 20% gain from the market trough. And gray shows a bear market, which represents a 20% or more decline from the previous market high. What you see is actually within that 11.1% average return for the S&P 500 is a tremendous amount of volatility. And my point of showing you this is that volatility is normal and volatility is expected. Anytime the stock market goes down, the newspapers scream crash and catastrophe because that's what sells newspapers. But by studying the history of what you are investing in, it will help you to filter out this noise from the newspapers and the hysteria from people whose job it is to sell newspapers. And instead, you'll realize that volatility is normal and volatility is expected. And over time, as I said, there will be more good years than bad years, hence 11.1% return. Of course, in investing, nothing is guaranteed. You've read the disclaimer, you know that past performance is not a reliable indicator of current and future performance, and you've also read the disclaimer on this video. So, what changes am I making to my own portfolio as a result of this information from the JP Morgan's Guide to the Markets? Well, absolutely none. The longer you invest for, the more you realize that no one can predict the future. And as Jack Bogle says, don't look for the needle, which is incredibly hard to do, just buy the haystack. So I personally own a low-cost, well-diversified, mostly passive tracker portfolio. And instead of trying to predict the future, instead I'm focusing on what I can control. And what I can control is my savings rate and making sure that my portfolio is nicely diversified and is as tax efficient as possible. And if you're in the UK, it's incredibly easy to make your portfolio tax efficient by holding it inside something called an ISA. I hope that helps to demystify a complex document and give you some pointers. Our channel's really new and we want to make content that helps you. So if you could drop a love heart emoji in the comments if you want more investing videos like this, a thumbs up emoji if you want more tax tips from Ed, and a fire emoji if you want more videos on starting a side hustle. And if you like these videos and you find them useful, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and leave us a like. See you on the next video.